I'd like to dedicate this shiur to the brother of Frieda Gartenhaus, Le'ili Nishmas, Yibal Bechaim L'chaim, Rav Yisrael Meir Zechariyish. Zecharon Levracha was, as I understand, a very big Talmud Chacham who lived in Bnei Brak. He wrote Svarim, and he unfortunately passed away this week. This shiur should be Le'ili Nishmasai. As we approached Yom Kippur, the Yom Adin, the day of when we're inscribed in the Sefer for the next year, and everyone's nervous what what Hashem will do to us, has in store for us in the year to come, and we're asking all our needs. On Rosh Hashanah, We don't focus on our needs so much as spreading Hashem's malchus, that everyone in the world should accept Hashem as the king over the world. But on Yom Kippur, we ask for our needs. So the thought occurred to me that before we can ask Hashem for our needs, for the future, we first have to thank Hashem for what He has done for us in the past and what He continues to do for us in the present. It's really a chutzpah for someone to ask Hashem something and he's not grateful for what Hashem has done for us. So I'd like to dedicate this year, it's entitled Thank You Hashem, to the concept of having Hakaras HaTov, having appreciation for what Hashem has done for us and continues to do for us. And what I'm going to use as a main text for this is the sefer that I have in front of me. It's called Or Avigdor. It is from Harav Agoyim Rav Avigdor Miller Zitzel. It's on the sefer Chovas Halvavos. It's in English, and I highly recommend it. It's an excellent sefer for a person to work on Chovas Halvavos, the obligations of the heart, of what a person is supposed to be thinking concerning Hashem and his duties towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're going to learn together parts of the Hagdama, the introduction to the gate. He divides up the Sefer different gates, and this is called the Shar HaBechina. This is the gate of examination. In order to have appreciation for what Hashem does to us, we have to examine the world. Unfortunately, as we're going to mention, people get used to the world and they take for granted, we have a concept of entitlement. Everything's coming to me. Big deal, you know, if I'm healthy, if I have a house to live in. We see plenty of homeless people in Manhattan who don't have a house to live in. The things that we have, we take for granted. And Rabbi Avigdor Miller, I listened to his talks. He used to always have a shiur Thursday night, and they have made MP3s of those shiurim. I listened to it, and if I were to say what's the main theme of all his shiurim, it's this idea of giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what, based on the Shar HaBechina, the gate of examination. So I'm going to read from the Sefer and explain it as we go along. So he begins like this. It's called The Duty to Be Alert. When you learn the Shar Bechina, you are preparing for a career of being a servant of Hashem. But there is an important difficulty involved in this study, which is not so evident in other Svarim. Chovas Halvavos is all thought. It demands that you think about it. That takes effort, and it is easy to fall asleep on it. In fact, the whole world is asleep on duties of the mind. Our job is not to fall asleep, but to be awake and learn these great lessons. So that it starts that, please, no one should fall asleep in this year. Okay. So the first thing is don't fall asleep. It's you have to concentrate on this. It's something that needs a lot of concentration. Another difficulty related to Shar Bechina is the barrier of habit, because Shar Bechina deals with matters that you are very familiar with. Be careful not to get lulled into sleep by the familiarity of this subject matter. When you know a thing very well, you lose sight of it. For instance, if you hold your finger in front of your eye and keep on looking at it, after a while, you won't see your finger anymore because it becomes so familiar. Try it out. If you keep staring at your finger, after a while, your eyes, that's how the eyes work, they don't focus on the finger. They look around the room and not at the finger. You will see everything but your finger. How many steps do you have in front of your house? Don't you remember? You probably walked up those steps thousands of times. And yet, what is familiar is unfamiliar. And that's the very great obstacle of understanding the truth of this world. For the world is full of clear demonstrations of Hashem's wisdom, plan and purpose, and kindness, which are so much before our eyes, that we have lost our sensitivity to them. And even when you are told about them, it doesn't have the slightest effect on your mind, because you keep looking past them. It's very difficult to overcome the slavery to habit. But our job is not to fall asleep. Our job is to be awake and to learn these great lessons. So he starts a little further with discussing there are three good things in this world, which are called tov, they're good. One of them is that Hashem said when he created this world that it is tov ma'od. Hashem, who's the owner of this world, who made this world, how did he describe the world that he made for us? He described it that it's not just good, it's very good. That's the first one. These three tovs delineate three aspects of our function in life. First, we must realize that Hashem made the world and that it is a very good world. Hashem declared that his handiwork is good, and that opinion must be accepted. After all, he understands the world better than any human being could. It's not just a good world, it's a very good world. As he said, tov ma'od. So that's the first tov. Secondly, we must realize that there are no exceptions to Hashem's kindness. He is good to everyone. It says, tov Hashem lakol. A person can't say, it's good for most other people except me. No, this world is tov ma'od for you too. And third, we must realize that the only good in this world is thanking Him and praising Him for His goodness. As the Pasuk says in Tehillim, tov lahodos l'Hashem, it is good to thank Hashem, ulezamer l'shimcha elyon, and to sing praises to your name, Hashem, who's the exalted one. So it is worthwhile to commit the three tovs to memory. So again, tov ma'od, tov lakol, and tov lahodos l'Hashem. If a person has this attitude, he will, in any situation that he will be in, he or she will be in, he will be in joy, he will be happy. People go around sad because they think the world is not good. I heard in one of his tapes, he said they're like speaking Lashon Hara against Hashem. By being upset, you're upset like Hashem did something bad to you. Hashem, you say it's a good world. I say it's not a good world. If you don't go around happy, smiling, you're like saying, Hashem, it's not. I'm speaking Lashon Hara against Hashem. Now, the Chayves Alvavis gives three reasons. Why the Chavos Avavos is this is three is easy. There are the Chavos Avavos sometimes could say ten. On the bus that comes in from Muncie every day, there's someone who learns Chavos Avavos after davening for a few minutes. So just today I was thinking how the Chavos Avavos, how he analyzed everything in the world. He broke down everything into six things, ten things. You could see it's unbelievable how detailed, how much thought he went into what our responsibility is from us to Hashem in this world. So here he doesn't have six, ten, he has three. So three reasons why people don't appreciate what a good world this is. And if you don't appreciate it, obviously You're not going to be makir tov Hashem. You're not going to express your appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the first reason, there's two parts to the first reason. The first part is because people are too busy with the world, and so they don't think about what Hashem is doing for them. And we'll explain each part. The second part, we're giving the reasons from Chovas Avavos as explained by Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zitzel in his Sefer on Chovas Avavos called Or Avigdor. So the first part is people are too busy. They don't have time to think about what Hashem is doing for them. The second part is that people are always yearning for more. Now let's explain what this means. Are you one of those people who are too busy? From time to time, stop what you're doing and learn Shar HaBechina. If you do, it will open your eyes and you will begin to see how happy you are. Rav Miller, he goes through everything in life, like things that struck me. Let's say your eyes. Do we realize an eye is the most sophisticated camera in the world? All the Canon cameras and all, they don't come to the eye. What the eye could see in color, close vision, far vision, and not one camera, you have two cameras to do it. It's unbelievable. You go up steps, and the steps have a railing. Did you ever think about steps? In very ancient time, okay, in the Beis Hamikdash, they already had steps. But there was a time where they had to invent steps. How did they do it before? They had to take a rope and lasso it onto a building and then climb up the building. The invention of steps, and then you could fall down, you could lose your balance. So I think there's a law, he said, in New York City or maybe in the United States, every place you have to have a railing. It's a legal thing that a person can grab onto the railing that he or she can hold their balance. So in other words, when you start thinking in that way, you analyze every single thing that we, especially us today, we have all the inventions that make life so pleasant. But what happens when the invention first comes out? Wow, terrific. And then after a while, we get used to it, and we're entitled to it. And if we don't have it, we're upset that we don't have it. But if you shar abchina means you inspect it. If you begin to expect, after a while, you will be singing to Hashem. You will feel lucky that you're able to breathe, to walk, to think, and to do all the things that normal people do. You will be so happy even to walk in the street with empty pockets. In fact, you will feel like singing in the streets. Think of all those people who can't walk in the street. And think of those who do walk but can't get around without canes or crutches. Some can hardly move at all, or they sit in wheelchairs. In contrast, you can walk, Baruch Hashem. You will be so glad about this that you will stride down the street feeling like a millionaire. Think of the people who do not have functioning kidneys. They have to go to a clinic 3 times a week to have their blood cleaned because they don't have a functioning kidney of their own. They depend on a machine that acts in place of kidneys. But you have 2 functioning kidneys. You should sing all day to Hashem for that blessing. If you utilize Chayvus HaVavus to think about yourself, you will be turned into a person who enjoys the world. Hashem says that He made a good world for you to enjoy. When Hashem said that this world is Toiv Moed, Rav Miller says He wants you to enjoy this world. If you don't enjoy the world, it's your own fault, and you won't get any reward for having unnecessarily denied yourself enjoyment. And as he says, I heard this on a tape, you're not a big, people think, you know, if life is hard and I'm not happy, and yet I'm going to get more reward. I'm a bigger tzaddik. No, Hashem made this world that you should also consider it tov mod. You should enjoy it. On the contrary, Hashem holds it against you because you didn't appreciate what He gave you, and you didn't say thank you. You never even stopped to think what He's giving you. So that's the first problem. We're so busy with life that we don't take time to reflect on what we have, and all, if you break down all the good things that you have, I'm going to speak out this now. There was once a parent when I was a principal in the school. He had a certain complaint You know, so I was telling him, you know, what about all the good things in the school? He says, listen, when a person has 10 fingers and his thumb hurts, he doesn't concentrate on the 9 fingers that are good. No, he's concentrating on the 1 finger that hurts. And that on the thumb. So unfortunately, that's how we don't, when we have an issue, and the Chavis Avav is going to speak about that also, we concentrate on it. We don't see any good in the issue that Hashem is giving to us. And we concentrate on what's bad. So every day in Hamodia newspaper, I like very much, there's a column there by Rabbi Beda, Raymond Beda. He's a Rav in the Syrian community in Brooklyn. It's called, he has a book, and they took parts of it for every day. 1 minute with yourself. And this minute 171 is called Law of Averages. So it goes like this. How are you doing, Yaakov, asked Shlomo. Well, to be honest, not so good, replied Shlomo sadly. It seems every business deal or job that comes my way ends in disappointment. But how are you, my friend? I'm also having a hard time with my economic situation. But unlike you, I'm doing great, was the cheerful reply. I don't understand, Shlomo replied, looking puzzled. Let me explain, Yaakov calmly answered. I used to think like you. If life wasn't perfect, I felt it wasn't good at all. Then one day I heard about a 24-year-old athlete who signed a $50 million contract with our local baseball team. I looked at his stats and I saw that he had .348 batting average. He batted .348. .348 out of 1,000 that's why he got $50 million. That means he gets a hit only once every 3 or 4 times he comes to bat. 6 times out of 10, he fails to get a hit. Yet he is considered one of the best in the game. Well, I have a decent job. My home is no palace, but it's comfortable. I live in a nice community. I have a nice family. And thank Hashem, I have my health. Some things that people consider important, I don't have. But I'm certainly battling better than .348. So if he's a $50 million, I'm a $100 million player. Are you batting better than .348? All things considered, you probably are. So rather than complain, why not bask in the knowledge that you are a multi-million dollar star? So that's the point is that that's what he says, that you get into a habit of always concentrating on the sore thumb instead of the 9 fingers that are working well, and you don't appreciate what Hashem is doing, how much good he's doing. Now, the second part of why people don't appreciate what Hashem is doing for them is that they're always yearning for more. The grass is always greener someplace else. Such a person thinks, Flatbush is no good. I have to go to Muncie. Muncie is no good. I have to go to Yerushalayim. But in Yerushalayim, he's unhappy too. He begins thinking about the next world. He thinks, Olam Haba will be good. But that person is making a big mistake. Hashem said that every place is a good place. If he would thank Hashem for putting him in a good place, he would be rewarded with Olam Haba for thanking Hashem. But if a person says this world is a bad world and that all the happiness is in the world to come, Hashem accuses that person of contradicting him. Hashem had informed him that this is a very good world, Toiv Ma'oid, but that person denied it. And so he didn't fulfill his obligation to appreciate this world. And then he quotes from the Sefer Chavos HaVavos, people are blind to the benefits of what they have in this world because despite any degree of success or happiness that they are able to reach, they look for the level that is above it. They seek what comes next. The many benefits become few in their eyes and the great gifts become small for them. They are convinced that Hashem has only given them a few benefits, and even these few benefits become little in their eyes. They continue to think this way until finally they think that every good that somebody else has is as if it was stolen from them. When some people see others who have big cars, big homes, and servants, they are displeased and resentful. They feel that they have been deprived of such comforts and that they have been wronged. When they see somebody who is famous, they also feel they have been wronged. They ask why they can't also be a celebrity. And so all the things that other people have in this world cause them to become unhappy. This kind of feeling is caused by a lack of appreciation of what they have. They didn't study what they have. And now he summarizes the first reason that we just learned from the Chovos HaLevavos. It has two parts. The first part is too busy. People are so preoccupied with their use of what the world offers that they neglect to think about how much they benefit from the world. They are so busy with all the things they want to do that they fail to address what should be more important than anything else, to recognize the gratitude they owe to Hashem. And the second part too, what's next? Whenever people receive some good, their immediate reaction is to think, what might be next? And this, the Gemara calls this Mishi Yesh Lo Mana, writes a Messiah. A person has $100, he wants 200. He has $1 million, he wants $2 million. Instead of pausing to enjoy his acquisition, he immediately thinks about getting his next 100. As a result of parts 1 and 2, people are jealous when they see that somebody has something they do not have, as if it was taken away from them. No matter what they see in the world, they wonder why they don't have it. This mindset causes them to overlook all the benefits that they have now. They don't think about the ways in which they are more fortunate than other people. They might be jealous of a wealthy man, but without thinking of the problems the man has, such as suffering ill health and having to contend with bitter enemies. Someone who is not wealthy and is not burdened with the ownership of a big business should appreciate how fortunate he is to be able to lead a nice, quiet life. But the Yetzer Hara tempts a person to look outside of his domain and think that he could have been happier if he had had what other people have. So that is the end of the first reason. People are too busy, and secondly, they are always looking for more. Now, the second reason is we are born ignorant. What does this mean? This means that we're not born. In other, I'm going to say it a little differently than what he says. I think it will make a stronger point. If Chasham, a person would be born blind, and then when he becomes, let's say, 20 years old, he gets his eyesight back, wow, would he appreciate his eyesight? But he's born with eyesight. By the time he becomes 20 years old, he's used to his eyesight. So, and then it's entitlement. If Chas V'Shalom he loses sight in one eye, or Chas V'Shalom in both eyes, what's going on here? You know, I'm supposed to see. Now, he says, how did Adam HaRishon react? In other words, when we're supposed to appreciate that we can breathe, that we can hear, that we can see, that we can think, we're babies, and we don't have seichel. Their behavior is in contrast to that of Adam HaRishon, who was created with a full seichel. As soon as he opened his eyes for the first time, he realized that he was able to walk, talk, see, and think. He was amazed at the powers that he had been given, and he appreciated every one of his faculties. When he breathed the air, he appreciated it. He said, how good is air? How good is water? Rabbi Miller, he did it himself. He says in a tape that he used to tell people, put your head, he said, do it with children. Put your head in water until you're choking, and then come out and gasp for air, and then you'll appreciate air. And he did it himself. In other words, we have air. We don't appreciate it. Without air, we couldn't breathe. So we get used to it. How good is water? This was because he was born with seichel. But we are born without seichel. By the time we acquire it, we are already prisoners of habit. We're so used, and we feel we're entitled to see, to hear, to think, to walk. So these things are, I mean, what do I have to thank Hashem for? If we wouldn't have it, and as I think even stronger than Adam HaRishon, because Adam HaRishon, when he was born, he had it. And he had seichel. But if, as I said, if a person was paralyzed, and if a person was blind, and a person was deaf for 25 years of his life, and suddenly he could see, he could hear, he could walk, then he would appreciate it. You know how long he would appreciate it? Till another 20 years went by, and he was able for 20 years to walk and see and hear, So then he might already get out of habit, used to it, and now he's entitled. Now he doesn't have to thank Hashem. But certainly in the beginning, he really thanked Hashem. The Chavavis Havavis gives a mashal of two people. There was a child, an abandoned child, a little baby, and someone got this baby and raised him up and gave him a normal life. Then there was a person who didn't have money to pay a debtor, and the debtor went to the police and they threw him in jail. And in jail, they didn't give him food to eat. He was on the floor sleeping. He was a wretched, miserable life in jail. And this man who raised the child found out about this prisoner, and he spoke to the debtor, and he convinced him, maybe he paid him some money, he convinced him to get the prisoner out of prison. And he said, I'll take him into my house. So he took him. He didn't put him in his house. Maybe he didn't have room, whatever. He had a shed, and he gave him a bed in a shed, and he used to bring him food. It wasn't the great food that he had in his house, but it was nutritious, regular, plain food. So one day, the baby who had been raised, he was now a young man, came out to the shed, and he sees this person lying there on a bed in the shed. The bed was a cot, and he sees the food he's eating, bread and nothing, no fancy food. So he says, what kind of life do you have? And the man says, what, are you kidding? He says, you know where I'm coming from? I'm coming from jail where I slept on the floor. They didn't give me anything to eat. I was starving. And your father who raised you, he gave me this place, a roof over my head with a bed, with food. I'm so grateful. And this child, he was brought up, he's spoiled. He had better food. He had better living accommodations. So who should have given appreciation to the man, to the father more? Of course, the child. And the father was doing it since he was a baby. And yet, he was used to it. It became habitual. He's entitled. Of course, I have to live in a nice house and get good food. And he looks at the other one as if he has a terrible life. And the other one, he's coming from such adverse situation, he is really Hakor Satov, he has appreciation to the master. So the Nimshal is that's the difference between us and Hashem, someone who wouldn't have health and wouldn't be able to see and would get it, he would appreciate. We're used to it, and therefore we don't thank Hashem. Of course, we understand that there's a big difference. The ex-prisoner began his new life at a time when all his faculties were developed, and he could appreciate everything that was being done for him. But the boy, like ourselves, began with no seichel, and so he had little appreciation. Unless we begin reviewing the conditions of our life, we will not realize that we're living a life of blindness. We are unhappy and not justified in that unhappiness. If, however, we reflect on how good the world is, we will be able to say to our Creator, yes, Hashem, it's a very good world, just as you said. What is good in this world? The answer is, like we learned before, Toiv lahoidais l'Hashem ulezamer l'shimcha al-yoin. It is good to thank Hashem and to sing praises to your name. So that's the second reason that we get everything from Hashem at a time when we can't appreciate it. And when we get older, we're already used to it, and then we don't appreciate it because we're used to it. That's the second reason why people don't think that this is a world of toiv ma'oid, don't have appreciation for what Hashem has given them. And the third reason is, says the Chayav HaSalvavis, mipnei ma shemoitzi oisam ba'olam mimineh hapigoyim. It's because of the various kinds of misfortunes that happen to them in this world. Things happen to people that cause them to think the world is not a good place. Everybody has some kind of a setback in his life, but it is absolutely wrong to say that the world is not a good place just because of that. Now, if we think about it, most of the time, Hashem is unquestionably good to us, which we ourselves realize is good. Very few things are bad compared to the many good things. In truth, however, this mashal is not a good mashal. Because even when Hashem does something that seems to us as not good, it is really good. The apparent misfortune is also good. Gamzu l'tayva. Yet because of the few occasions when things happen that make people unhappy, they see the world as no good. They therefore feel no goodwill to Hashem for any benefit he provides. Of course, that is a very big mistake. And the Chayvus HaVavus goes on to say, they don't understand the ways in which these hardships may lead to a happy outcome for them. When a person becomes ill, it often serves to save him. There was once a man who was in a business whose demands were killing him. He became ill, he had to give up the business and look for something else. One can say that it was the illness that saved his life. If he would have stayed in the business had so much stress on him that it would have killed him. This case is not unusual. We often see how illnesses or failures are for our benefit. Later, we look back and realize that Hashem brought the apparent misfortune on us in order to save us from something worse. And the Chavos HaVavos says, they don't realize the value of being tested. The bad thing is really for our benefit. It's good. Second of all, it might be a test. How are you going to react to it? And if you pass the test, if you react well and you pass the test, that's itself why Hashem gave you this test. When misfortune strikes, we are being challenged to overcome our tendency to complain and to belittle the world. If despite whatever happens, we continue to believe that Hashem is toiv umeitiv, he is good and does good, then we are passing a test. And passing that test is in itself a very great success. So in review, he says, everyone has setbacks in life. People who experience troubles are making a mistake by condemning all of life just because of the few setbacks. They have forgotten that most of life is happiness. And let's say a person has a certain problem, let's say a physical problem. So that physical problem shouldn't make him upset. He should concentrate on all the parts of his body that are working properly, even if there's one that he has a problem with. Furthermore, when people suffer some setback, it is for the purpose of mussar, to make them better. It improves their character when they have some kind of rebuke from Hashem. People who suffer tend to have better character than people who are arrogant in their success and good health. Suffering makes a person more modest and more understanding of the failures in other people. In addition to improving character, suffering serves as a nisoyan, a test. If we don't become dismayed and stay firm in our faith that Hashem is a toiv and a meitiv, we pass the test. And then the Chayvus HaVavos gives a mashal of a hospital that was made for the blind. And in this hospital, there were all kinds of medicines, and there was all kinds of equipment. And there are blind people there. Now, if they would have taken their medicine properly, and they would have used the sophisticated machinery properly, they could have regained their eyesight. But they decided that they're gonna experiment with the medicines themselves. So instead of they took the wrong medicines, the wrong amount. Instead of helping them, it made it even worse. And they instead of the machinery helping them, they started walking around without anyone guiding them, and they bumped into the machinery and they got hit from the machinery. So what's the nimshel? Because of their failure to utilize the gift of life effectively, people fail to enjoy what Hashem intended them to enjoy. Not only that, people cause themselves harm. The author, the Chayvus HaVavos, has given us a very important mashal. The world is like an eye hospital, and its purpose is to help us learn to see. What is it that we will see once our eyes are healed? We will see that Hashem's world is very good. This is what Hashem told us. Vayar lekim es kol asher asa vihine toiv ma'ay vayar vayvayker yayim hashishi. And we need to learn. We will see that Hashem's world is very good. This is what Hashem has told us. And we need to learn to recognize that great truth. Once we recognize it, we become capable of enjoying the world and utilizing it properly. So this is the marshal that the Chavis of Avos gives of a hospital for blind people. If we use what Hashem gave us in this world, if we shar habachina, this is analyzing. If we analyze the world properly, like the Chavis of Avos and Rav Miller are teaching us how to look at everything and see in it how what good Hashem does to us. He speaks about a watermelon pit. A watermelon pit is very slimy. And he says, what's Hashem made it for a reason? That like he says, when you do Bedikas Chametz, you'll find a watermelon pit that's been there for a whole year when you're eating watermelon. But Hashem did it for a purpose. What's the purpose? That it gets spread out, and that's how watermelons grow. That they get dispersed by being so slippery. He has all kinds, if you look in nature, he has all kinds of mashalim of this nature. But if we, that's the bechina. Shar bechina means you have to break down the world, analyze every subunit of this world, and see in this world the greatness of what our Kodesh Baruch Hu is doing for us. Now, this is what I said at the beginning of this year. We want to ask Hashem for a year of b'sefer chayim bracha v'shalom farnasa tovah gzeiros tovah yeshuas nechamas nizacher v'nikasev. We're asking Hashem to write us in the book of everything good in the year to come. But isn't it a chutzpah if we ask Hashem and we're not makir tov what He's done for us in the past, what He's doing for us and in the present? So this was what I was thinking, and this past Shabbos I was at a kiddush and someone mentioned from a sefer, there's a new sefer on Chumash from the Magidim. That's like Rav Shalom Shvadron and other great Magidim. It's called Vayaged. They are Magidim who give Musar and Drush to the Olam. So they have there from Rav Borach Rosenblum. I never heard of him. English? It's in Lashon Kodesh. So he says that in the Aseres Metshuva, we have the four times in Shemoneh Esrei where we speak about life, right? So we start off Zachreinu L'chaim, Melech Chofetz B'chaim, Chasveinu B'sefer Chaim. Then we go Micha Moicha Avarachamim, Zocher Yitzurav L'chaim Barachamim. Then after Modim we say V'chasveinu, we say Uksoiv L'chaim Toivim Kol B'nei B'risecha, and then we end off B'sefer Chaim Bracha V'shalom. So he says, very interesting, before Modim, what do we ask for? We just ask for life. He says, you know, unfortunately, you know, you go to a hospital, there are people who are in a coma, and they're living, but in other words, we don't even ask for the word Chaim Tovim. The most we ask is Zachrein L'chaim El'chavetz B'chaim Chasvein B'sefer Chaim L'man Chol Yikim Chaim. Then the next was Micha Moich Avar Rachamim Zoicher Yitzur L'chaim Barachamim. The most before Modim, the most we can ask Hashem is life in mercy. Like a mercy, give me mercy, Hashem. But after Modim, what do we ask for? We ask for Usoiv L'chaim Toivim Kol B'nei B'risecha. And then we ask more, B'sefer Chayim Bracha V'shalom Farnasa Toivim. Then we ask a whole list of things. Why didn't we do that at the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei? In the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we just asked for life. The answer is because the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, you didn't thank Hashem. Exactly the thought that I said before. What audacity do you have to ask Hashem for all these good things when you didn't show appreciation for what He gave you in the past, for what He's giving you in the present? Oh, after Moedim Anachnu Lach, there we give Hoidah, we thank Hashem. Thank you for everything that you gave. Thank you. Now you could already, if you appreciate what I gave you till now you can go ahead and ask me for Sefer Chayim Bracha, Chayim Toivim, a good life, not just life. You can ask for a good life. It's a beautiful explanation of the difference before Moedim and after Moedim. And I'm just going to end off with an interesting thing that happened to me. I heard, Nageya to this is, you know, Hashem does so much good for us. I heard from Choshev Rav, he said that Hashem is not only Avinu, our father, He's not only Malkeinu, our master, our king, but he's also our best friend. That was his lashon. And so I was wondering, are you allowed to call Hashem your best friend? And so I said, well, ani l'dodi, v'dodi li. That the translation of dodi is friend. It's even my beloved, but it means a friend. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. So the chayr would seem that you could. My wife felt, no, it's not appropriate to say that Hashem is your best friend. So, of course, at the end, my wife's right. But we'll So I decided I'm going to ask Rav Yisrael Simcha Shor, the Rashiv of Or Sameach. This was Erev Rosh Hashanah, after Slichas, after Davening. I went over, asked him. He said, technically, he is our best friend. He does so many good things for us. He's our best friend. But you don't speak like this. Okay? So that night, Rav Shor gave before shofar, he gave a drasha in Or Sameach. And in the middle of the drasha, he says that he heard from his mechutin a gra. What does the gra say? The gra says, HaMispalel ba'ad chaveroi hu nen etchila. Chazal say, if you daven for your friend, you get answered first. If you're trying to daven for his needs, your needs get answered first. And he says, the Gra says that this refers to Hashem. That what? That if Hashem wants his malchus to spread over the world. He wants everybody to accept him as the king. So on Rosh Hashanah, maybe he was referring to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we already ask all our needs. Rosh Hashanah, we almost don't ask any need. Our whole davening is v'simloich, that your kingdom should be over the whole world. If you daven for Hashem's needs first, then Hashem will answer your needs first. So then he added, only the Gra could say such a thing. So I'm sitting there, hey, wait a second. Rav Shor, yesterday you told me you shouldn't say. Here the Vilner Gaon says, HaMispalel ba'ad chaveiro refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You daven for your friend Hashem what he needs. Hashem will take care of you, your needs first. We see that you do call Hashem your friend. So I went over to Rav Shor after davening on Rosh Hashanah and Or Sameach, I was davening, and I asked him this question. I was thinking to myself that that's maybe why he added the words, only the Gra could say such a thing. And he said to me, that's why I added those words for you. And there's nobody else who was in Or Sameach understood what he meant with those words. He said, that message was for you. That although the Gra referred to Hashem that he's Chaveroi, but that's not, apparently, for us, that would bring not respect, proper respect. So he is our best friend, but we don't address Hashem. That's why we only find that you address Hashem as Avinu Malkeinu, even though he is Dodenu. He is Anila Dodi. He is our good friend, our best friend, who does so much good for us like no one else in the world. But we still only refer to him as Avinu Malkeinu. We should be Zaycha, that we should... I think this lesson is an important lesson that we should... last time we spoke about davening to Hashem, we should daven to Hashem, and in the davening, thank Hashem for everything. And then only after Moedim do we have a right to ask Hashem for a good year and for all the brachas. We first have to be Moda, give our Koras HaTov for everything good that Hashem does for us. We should all be Zocha to a Sefer Chaim Bracha V'Shalom Parnasa Toiva. And not only us, but we say for all of Klal Yisrael as well. In the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, we only ask for ourselves. But at the end, we say all these brachas, not only for us, we were moided to you, Hashem. We thanked you. Please not only help us, but help all Klal Yisrael with a good Gebenshtior. Amen. Ken Yiratzim.
What about Shira?